Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Good morning. It's Friday, June 24th. I'm Suzanne Whatley, and you're listening to the LA Report from KPCC and LAist.com. Here's what's happening. The U.S. Supreme Court has struck down a gun law restricting who can get a permit to carry a concealed weapon in public. CalMatters reporter Ben Christopher says while the ruling specifically targets New York State, it will likely have huge implications for similar laws nationwide, including in California.
It's very, very similar to the way that New York's works. So it's really hard to imagine, given this ruling, that California's concealed carry permitting system isn't also on borrowed time.
While gun rights groups applaud the ruling, Governor Newsom said that it is a dangerous decision. The ruling comes as the Senate advances a limited bipartisan gun safety bill and just weeks after the mass shootings in New York and Texas. The High Court also ruled in a Los Angeles County case that law enforcement cannot be sued for failing to provide Miranda warnings, including the right to remain silent. LA Times reporter David Savage says there is concern this may incentivize police to ignore Miranda.
I think this decision is one of those ones that over time is going to have a big practical significance, because a lot of police officers know that if you have somebody who doesn't want to talk, they can keep questioning him anyway, despite the right to remain silent.
The court's conservative majority finds Miranda warnings protect against self-incrimination, but the warnings themselves are not constitutional rights. So cops cannot be sued for failing to provide the warnings. But if they get a confession without Miranda, it cannot be used in court. Health officials are cautiously revising their timeline for when they expect LA County to reach the high level in the CDC's COVID-19 community level tracker. They now estimate that the county could hit that point sometime in mid-July. What's that mean for you? Well, if the county stays at that level for two straight weeks, indoor masking would become mandatory again. The new projection comes as weekly COVID case rates and hospital admissions appear to be plateauing. But Dr. Paul Simon, the county's chief science officer, says it's hard to predict what is coming.
Hospitalizations could level off and even begin to decline. This would be a great relief. Or they could begin again to increase more rapidly. We just don't know. But of course, we'll be monitoring this very closely.
Dr. Simon says he's concerned about the local spread of two Omicron subvariants known as BA4 and BA5, which appear to be even more contagious than the original strain and evasive of standard antibody protection that one might receive from the vaccine or from having had a COVID infection. Metro continues working on extending the L line or gold line that'll put light rail into Pomona. KPCC's Nick Roman reports it's halfway done.
They put down about half the 9 miles of track that'll run from where the Gold Line dead ends right now in Glendora out to Pomona, across from the Metrolink station and not far from Fairplex. Most of the work to put rail crossings at grade across streets is done. About a quarter of the electrical system to power the trains is in, but they have a long way to go to finish the four new Gold Line stations plus several bridges. The construction schedule calls for the Glendora to Pomona extension to be up and running in 2025. When that happens, you'll be able to hop on the Gold Line at Union Station and ride 40 miles to Pomona. Should take about an hour. For KPCC, I'm Nick Roman.
Metro will dedicate the Little Tokyo Arts District station in honor of former California Congressman Norm Mineta, who died last month at age 90. He became the first Asian American cabinet member when George W. Bush chose him to serve as the transportation secretary. Joanne Kumamoto with the Little Tokyo Legacy Foundation is pleased.
This is just such a wonderful opportunity to recognize a real leader in the Japanese-American community and in really the United States.
The Japanese-American National Museum plans a celebration of Mineta tomorrow. It's in downtown Los Angeles. The man suspected of fatally shooting two people last week in Hollywood is now in custody. Police say the FBI LAPD Fugitive Task Force found 32-year-old Marvin Francell Williams in Hesperia, and he was picked up Wednesday night. Police say Williams had been dating one of the victims, Nadia Campbell, whose three young children were in a nearby vehicle when she and Ajani Patridge were shot and killed last Thursday night on Carlos Avenue near Gower Street. L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon is defending his decision to seek probation instead of prison 2 years ago for the man who ended up murdering two El Monte police officers last week. Gascon's critics say Justin Flores would have been behind bars if the DA had sought prison time for Flores after he was caught as a felon with a firearm. Gascon told KPCC's Air Talk that prior to last week, Flores had never committed a violent crime and that he was just someone struggling with drug addiction. KPCC's Frank Stoltz says the blowback against Gascon comes at a critical point in the effort to recall him from office.
Supporters of recalling Gascon say this case is an example of how his more lenient approach results in more crime. They have just 2 weeks left to gather enough signatures to place the recall question on the November ballot. The campaign must collect about 570,000 signatures to qualify. It says it has more than 500,000, but experts say it will need more than 700,000 since a certain amount are always thrown out.
Gascon says his policies of seeking reduced sentences in some cases and not pursuing certain misdemeanors are part of a strategy to combat mass incarceration and systemic racism in the criminal justice system. A museum exhibit in downtown L.A. showcases the culinary wisdom and talents of 10 Mexican and Mexican-American grandmothers. It's called Abuelita's Kitchen. The women cook and share recipes and their life stories. The project was conceived by USC professor Sarah Portnoy, who studies food culture.
Every time I ask somebody, 9 out of the 10 women I asked, who taught you how to cook? Oh, well, I learned from my grandmother.
KPCC spoke with some of the women featured in the exhibit, and they said that it's validating to have their everyday creativity honored in this way. The exhibition is at LA Plaza de Cultura y Artes on Main Street. Thanks so much for listening to the LA Report. I'm Suzanne Whatley, inviting you to read more news at LAist.com and listen live at kpcc.org or on the KPCC app.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people. The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.